Good morning, Waterworks congregation. It's good to be in Annville this morning and worship with you all. Oh yes, the children might be missing Grandpa and Grandma, but that's okay. But if you do think about them, pray for, say a prayer for them. Yeah, a little change of plans is hard to accept sometimes when they want to be here. Also, this week they're headed to Missouri. Dad is sharing in a couples retreat. So pray for them as they head. I think that's towards the end of the week. So I'll throw that out there. But it is good to be with you and bring greetings from Myerstown, not so far away. This morning, I want to share with you a light bulb moment that I had. You ever have light bulb moments? Like, something clicks. Teaching. Sometimes I see that in my students. You teach something and, it clicks. Sometimes it takes a while. Hopefully in your life, you have God gives you light bulb moments. And that is with the verse in Matthew 7 that says, "Ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find." In the context of that verse, God gave me something. But before we go there, I have two stories I would like to share. Back when I was a young boy, my mom made the best chocolate chip cookies. And they're best if you put a little, they're warm and you put a little applesauce on top. That's the best way to eat them. But she would, you know, make the chocolate chip cookies and put them in a container, put them in the freezer. She said, "No getting the cookies unless you ask." So she made a rule that if we went to the freezer to get cookies, we'd have to skip cookies for 2 weeks and some added chores around the house. So one night after supper, then she even went into a time frame of skipping desserts at supper time. We only had desserts on Sunday. I mean, that is robbery. And so one evening after supper, I was just craving something sweet. I made sure nobody's looking. I'll be fine. So I sneak down to the basement, sneak down to the freezer. I go to push open the door, and I see my brother Nate. He's there getting cookies. I close the door. I ran back upstairs. "Mom, Nate was getting cookies out of the freezer. Do you know the punishment you..." Mom says, "Okay." And so Nate gets punished. Yes. Did I have the right motives in telling Mom about Nate's misdemeanors? No, I didn't. I was headed to do the same thing that Nate was. Yet his mistakes, his misdemeanors, clouded my vision of, I was just about to do the same thing as he was. And my accusations against him made me feel better. I'm not as bad as he was. He got caught. God sent me at just the right time. Second story. I taught school back. Let's back up. I graduated school. I took a year off. I was working for a mechanic, and then I went back to the classroom to teach. And so I taught sixth grade. At the end of that sixth grade year, we entered summer vacation, and one day I got a call. Heather Seibel had passed away. And Gerald and Joanne called me up and said, "Hey, would you be willing to lead songs at her funeral? And also have your class sing a song for at the graveside?" I'm just a 19-year-old man. I'd never led songs at a funeral before. I was honored with the request. And so this was pretty big. Also, about 2 weeks before, 3 weeks before this, I had started dating. And so I said, "Hey, Ruth Ann, can you come with me, please?" Of course, she went along with me. And so I led songs at the funeral, and then we got back in the car and we're headed home, and she said how good of a job I did. It meant a lot. We got home, and I'm talking to Mom and Dad, and they were also complimenting me. And then they said, do you know you told us the wrong number at the funeral? What? Yeah, you said the wrong number and you were in the total wrong page. Ruthann, why didn't you tell me that? So next time I saw her, I said, Ruthann, did you know that I messed up? Yeah, it's okay. It's not that big of a deal. In that moment, I knew she was a keeper. You see, in that moment, she used discretion to realize it wasn't that big of a deal to point out my mistakes. She looks beyond that. It's okay. It's fine. Other people found the right page. They were able to sing the song with you.
She overlooked that need to point a finger and make an accusation. Two different extremes there in how we respond to people's mistakes. This morning, I chose to title the message, Choose Care Over Criticism. Choose Care Over Criticism. And I want us to see the consequences of judgment so we drop our stones and choose care. This morning, is we're going to go to Matthew 7, and we're going to observe the consequences of casting judgment. And instead of choosing judgment, I want us to drop our stones that we so quickly pick up and choose care. And before we get to Matthew chapter 7, in John chapter 8, we have Jesus teaching, and a group of Pharisees brings a woman to Jesus. Remember that story? And they're accusing her of adultery. It's interesting to me. If you go back in the law, it says, does it say that you're supposed to stone the woman? No, you're supposed to stone the man and the woman. So obviously this was a setup. And so they bring this woman to Jesus and say, hey, the law says this. And it was a test. They wanted to see how Jesus responded. And if you go read down through John chapter 8, Jesus listens to their accusations. Then he kneels down and starts writing on the ground. And they keep accusing her. They keep saying, we got to stone her. They had stones in their hands. Finally, Jesus stands up and what does he say? Those of you without sin, go ahead and cast the first stone. And he knelt back down to the ground. And one by one, they left. And then he looks at the woman and says, hey, where'd your accusers go? I forgive you. Go and sin no more. Do you think the Pharisees would learn a lesson? Do you know what happens at the end of John chapter 8? Anybody know? Those same Pharisees, read down through John chapter 8, they're discoursing with Jesus. At the end of John chapter 8, they pick the stones back up to try to stone Jesus. And I look at that, Pharisees, are you kidding me? Jesus was trying to teach you a lesson. And just a little while later, you go and pick stones up to try to stone Jesus. Too many times, we humans are like that. And I use that illustration as a way to depict human reality. We are quick to pick up stones. We are quick to cast condemnation on other people. We are quick to cast judgment. And sometimes we're like the Pharisees, and Jesus says, drop the stones. And then we turn around and we pick the stones back up. And so this morning, I want to encourage us to help us see the consequences of judgment. So turn with me to Matthew chapter 7. That's where we're going to spend our time this morning. Right now I'm working through, last year I've been working through the Sermon on the Mount, and I'm nearing the end of Matthew 7. And so before we dive into Matthew 7, I'd like to review a little bit, just look back and recap. So we see the context of where Jesus is. So he's on the mount with his disciples. I get the picture of his disciples right around him. And there's crowds on the outskirts listening in. But I'm convinced this sermon is directed to his disciples. And so as Jesus opens up his mouth and starts this sermon, he goes into the Beatitudes. And he reminds them that they are salt and light. This is the model of who he wants his disciples to be. This is what I want of you. And then he transitions into talking about the law, saying he's not here to get rid of it. He's here to build upon it. And he says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you're not going to enter heaven. So that's the stage he is setting as he's talking to his disciples. And then he goes into addressing some theological issues. You have heard that it was said, but I say unto you. They were too focused on the specifics of the law. There was a bigger reason Jesus had the law there. In Galatians, it says the law is supposed to be a schoolmaster to us. That's what the purpose of the law was, but they were missing the point. So if you scan through Matthew chapter 5, again and again, he says, you've heard, but I say unto you. I'm building upon it. There's something bigger here. In Matthew chapter 6, we see him addressing three spiritual practices, that of giving, that of praying, and fasting. He says, you guys are looking at it all wrong. There's a better reason for how I want you to give and pray and fast. And then at the end of Matthew chapter 6, he addresses practical living. What are you going to do with your treasures? Be careful where you lay them up, because your heart's going to follow after. Don't worry about life. I'm going to take care of you. Okay, so he's bringing these new ideas, this new way of living to his disciples. And if you put yourself in the disciples' shoes as he's going through this, wow, this is different. This is deep. This has meaning. A little different than the law. But yet, he's not doing away with the law. He's building upon it. And as I go through the Sermon on the Mount, I see some things that are evident. Jesus is calling us, his disciples, to a whole new level. He's a God of growth. He wants to grow us. And the Pharisees were limited by the law because they were too focused on that. They weren't focused on the law leading them to Christ. They were focusing on the law as a checklist. And so the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is calling us to a whole new level. It's about being. He's not after what men do. He's after who they are at the heart. That's what I see again and again in the Sermon on the Mount. And another thing, if you go back to Matthew 5 and observe how many times he says, you've heard, but I say unto you, about anger, about adultery, about divorce, about oaths, revenge. What Jesus says is, how can I ever do that? And again, Jesus is trying to point out their inadequacies, to tear down their confidence in their systems, so that they view Jesus as a savior. Because the reality is, we can do none of these things except God be with us. Jesus is a God of grace. He's our savior. And that's how he wanted his disciples to view him. And that's what I see as Jesus is talking to his disciples here. The reality is this. And Jesus was trying to point to this, the difference between truth and grace. You see, the Pharisees, the reality of the context of the Pharisees is they were focused on truth. They wanted a system to give themselves, to make themselves feel good that they were doing the right thing. They were focused on the truth. And Jesus comes along, he says, no, the law was to show you that you can't do it all. And so therefore, you sacrifice. That was the way you received grace. And so Jesus is trying to point out the balance that is needed between truth and grace. That's what Jesus wanted to show. And that's what I see again and again in the Sermon on the Mount. So as we go through Matthew chapter 7 here this morning, I want us to keep this need for balance of truth and grace. There's a need for that balance. Now we're ready for Matthew chapter 7. So go to Matthew chapter 7 and verse 1. And we're going to observe the consequences of judgment. Matthew 7, and we're going to read 1 to 6. Judge not, that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye mete, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you. So Jesus now brings a principle. He's pointing out these things, these ways he wanted his disciples to live differently. And then he enters chapter 7, the next issue he wants to address, and he says, judge not. What does judge mean? If you try to convert to the original word, the Greek word, into English, I think the Greek word is krino, which can be translated about 20 different ways. But the idea here is that of trying or condemning or punishing. So Jesus say, don't condemn, don't punish, because you're going to be punished, you're going to be condemned with that same condemnation you extend to others. I find it interesting. You ever hear this verse quoted when somebody feels maybe attacked? Judge not. The Bible says don't judge. It's often referred to our judgment we cast on others, and then also often given in the light of how other people will judge us. While that may be true, I really think what Jesus is getting at is the way we extend grace or judgment to those around us, in that same way God will extend grace or judgment to us. And so be careful of that. I think that's what it is pointing to. So Jesus lays out the principle of be careful how you condemn, how you point out errors of others. He says, don't do it. Verse 2, for with what judgment you judge, it's going to be judged to you. And the things you give out are going to come back to you. So the law of reciprocation, what you do will be meted to you again. That's the principle Jesus gives here in verse 1 and 2. So in other words, don't judge. So therefore, we shouldn't even be telling people what we think. Let's continue on. I think the people who use this verse out of context would do well to continue on with the passage. Let's keep going. So he says, here's the principle, don't judge. Now he gives an illustration, and we probably heard this illustration many times. He says, you behold a mote, something small in your brother's eye, somebody else's eye, but you're missing the beam, something huge in your own eye. You're missing that. So how can you go try to take a little thing out of your brother's eye when there's something big in your own eye? Recently, there was a chapel speaker at school who illustrated this. He had a helmet, and he attached a big 2x4 to the front. And then he put a little, I forget what it was, something really close to the eye of somebody else, and he went in to try to get it. Well, what do you think happened? He went in to get it, and the 2x4 is whacking the guy in the head. He's not even able to get to the little thing to remove it. That's the illustration that Jesus gives here. It's funny, we chuckle. Yeah, duh. But what Jesus is trying to say is too often we are blinded by our own sin and prejudice. And if we don't seek God's face to make sure we're in a good place, we can't help out our brothers and sisters. And another thing I observe as I'm going through life is often the inconsistencies that I see in other people are inconsistencies in me. You ever experienced that? You just things that annoy you about somebody else, and then you stop, oh wait, I do those same things. So Jesus illustrates this by saying, don't judge. Because if you start judging and you don't take care of yourself first, you're going to whack the other guy in the face without actually helping him. So that's the illustration. It's often I stop here. And I think our culture as well, our Anabaptist Mennonite culture, might we better be careful what we call out in other people. Oh, I'll talk to somebody else about inconsistencies I see in them, but I better not talk to them because I don't want to judge them. Come with me to verse 5. Thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, then thou shalt see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Brothers and sisters, Jesus moves on to say, don't just ignore the mote. Actually put the hard work in to help a brother and sister out, to point them to truth. I lived in Grenada for a couple years, and there was a time when my cousin came to visit me, Eddie. Ray and Sue came down, and my cousin Eddie was there. And we went out to a point one night, and I think the dads were getting supper ready, getting the charcoal ready, forget what they were grilling up. And the children were waiting, and so we were bored, and so we started jumping on rocks, jumping from one rock to the other. And I'm convinced to this day it was Eddie instigating it. He doesn't agree with me. And so we're jumping from rock to rock, and it became a competition to see how far we could jump, you know? So one rock, oh yes, I made it. And Eddie would try to come after me, and he made it. Finally, there was these two rocks that were pretty far apart. I think I can do it. So I backed up, and I, running jump. I hit the rock, and I fell off backwards into a cactus. You're not supposed to be laughing. Ow! I can tell you never fell into a cactus. I screamed. I had a bunch of these little motes all in my back. So, my mom came running. She took me to the little bus. Aunt Sue was there. They took off my shirt and they said, oh! My back is covered in prickers. Aunt Sue said, I know just the thing. She ran to her purse, and she came out with a big crickers. She said, if we go in, those prickers are going to come right out. Do you see Sue doing that? No. No. It would have worked. She would have got those little prickers out all right, but she would have got a lot of flesh. A lot of flesh when it came out with it. Instead, she went to her purse and she got a little tweezers. And Mom started soothing me, rubbing my arms, and Aunt Sue went to work with the tweezers, pulling out all 1,000 prickers. And it hurt. But I could feel their care for me while they were doing it. And before too long, my back was okay again. I felt better. They cared for me. They used the proper tool, little tweezers. You see, I think Jesus is presenting a choice here. Sometimes the seemingly easiest thing to do and most straightforward is to go in and get rid of that thing in our brother and sister's life. Oh, this works to get out prickers. Oh yeah, they'll come out. But hunks of flesh will come with, and there will be scars left behind. There will be damage left behind. Instead, Jesus says, get rid of those prejudices. Get rid of those beams in your life. And then he says, go take care of that mote. Go put an arm around your brother or sister. Go take the tweezers and go in close and say, brother, we got to get rid of this thing. I'm going to help you. That's a whole different story than going in with this. This tells me there is a time to remove the mote. There is, but only after we've taken care of the beam in our own life. Sometimes our culture is, let's not get messy. They'll take care of it. But I'm convinced Christian brotherhood is sometimes messy, as we put an arm around each other, as we get the tweezers and take care of the little motes in each other's lives. Verse 6, then, is interesting. And often this verse is used in the connotation of giving the gospel to the unsaved. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before swine. In this context, I see Jesus bringing that up right after this analogy of how we care for people. And I'm wondering if Jesus is saying, sometimes taking care of those things aren't always needed right away. I didn't need Ruth Ann to get in the car and say, Zach, you really messed up on those songs. That's not what I needed that day. Sometimes, did you ever have a pricker that's way down deep and you're scared to dig it out because you know it's going to be painful? You know there's a trick. You put some salve on it. Or I also heard you put a piece of bacon on, let it go overnight, and it works its way to the surface. So trying to take care of that little pricker right in that moment is actually not the best thing to do. You put a little salve on it. You put a little piece of bacon and you let it rest a little bit. And then you come back to it later. Jesus is saying, he uses the illustration here of if I make a piece of steak, I'm not going to call in my dogs to join me. No. If I have, If I have some money, I'm not going to put all my cash in my pocket, and take it out to feed my pigs. No, it doesn't make sense. It's useless. They're going to trample it. So, and I see it on the heels of Jesus telling us how we care for each other. And I think sometimes there's a place to just wait. There's a time to pray and put some salve on it. And at the right time, address the little motes in each other's lives. So there we see, we are starting to see the consequences of judgment. So as I hear this need for sensitivity, how many are ready to start tackling the motes in each other's lives? I'm not. I mean, I could go in with the wrong tool. What if there's a beam in my life? What if it's not the right time? I'm at the place of feeling overwhelmed. How do I actually help people? Because I don't want to hurt them. I think this is exactly where Jesus wants us to be. This feeling of overwhelmed and unqualified to help each other. And then this is where he goes into verse 7. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be open unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So if I actually care for my brother and sister, and I seek Jesus, I ask him to show me how to help, that's the request he wants to answer. That was my light bulb moment. That verse came right after Jesus is talking about judging and how we help each other. Often that verse is, why doesn't God give me this or this or that? If we are seeking the Lord's will, he is happy to give to us. If we are seeking how we can help each other, a brother and sister, he wants to show us. And then he moves into an illustration of what he is like. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him? Here he gives the illustration of a good father. We have a bunch of fathers in here. But you want to treat your children well, don't you?
As I read through these verses, I think of the story, the book Light from Heaven by Annie Kaufman. I don't know how many of you read that. The dad's name was Bennett and his son Joseph. And Bennett was a bad dad. He was all focused on the money. And at Christmas time, they didn't get many things. Finally, at Christmas time, he wrapped some gifts and put it on their table. So they all sat around the table and they opened up the gifts and there was coals inside. And Bennett leaned back in his chair and laughed. It pierced the soul of Joseph. That's a bad dad. Jesus is saying, I'm not like that. When my children ask something of me, I want to be a good dad to them. And so we hear that story and say, that's awful. How could a dad do that? And I think there's a bunch of good dads in here. And so there's this difference. And what I see Jesus saying here is the difference between the bad dad and the good dad who cares for his children is not even comparable to the distance or the difference between a good dad and God. That difference doesn't even compare. That's how good our Father is. Because he wants to answer your requests when you have a desire to do his will. A light bulb moment for me. That's our good dad.
And then we're going to wrap up with verse 12. Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets.
What is that? The golden rule, as we know it. And Jesus says simply, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If there's, excuse me. If there is something in my life, I want you to lovingly point that out to me. I don't want you to come in with the big chompers and get rid of it. I want you to lovingly come in with the little tweezers. That's what I want. So if I want that, then that's what I should reciprocate to others, is what I see Jesus saying here.
So, Jesus says, don't judge. Be careful about your judgment. Take care of the things in your own life, and then lovingly care for those around you.
Seek my face, and I will show you how to care for each other.
Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And so we see the consequences of judgment. And so this morning I want us to choose care. Choose care over criticism. How do we do that? How do we choose care?
I think it's going back to that story of the Pharisees bringing the woman to Jesus. He says, those of you without sin, cast the first stone. They drop the stones. The first way I would like us to remember to care for others is drop the stones. Picking up those stones is a human tendency. Sometimes we do it out of revenge. Sometimes we do it out of our own hurt. We want to pick up the stones. It's not right. We want justice. Drop the stones. That's the way we show care. Because in reality, most beams are actually motes that we see in other people. It's actually just something small. Gossip is picking up stones. Be careful. And we live in a culture where we're quick to talk about other people. Be careful. How do we choose care? We drop the stones. Secondly, we choose care by seeking the Spirit. Ask, and I'm going to give it unto you. Prayer will bring care. Prayer will bring care. So if you have a grievance with somebody, pray for them for 2 weeks straight, 10 minutes a day. At the end of those 2 weeks, I think you're going to feel differently. And you're going to be in a place of care. And if it's actually something that should be addressed, you're going to have a good attitude about it. Because Jesus says he wants to give that to you.
Here's another thing. Often, when we pray first, instead of pick up the big crimpers, and we pray and we go in with care and we put an arm around them and we go in slowly, we get close, and what do we see? We see a mole, or we see a scar. Oh, that's actually not a bricker. And then we back away. Because we all have scars of things we've faced in life. And when we show care for each other and go in close, we see that it's not actually a pricker. So what I'm saying is, how do we choose care? We drop the stones. We seek the Spirit. And then, at that point, don't just let it go. That's when we do pick up the tweezers. And we go in and we say, brother, we need to take care of this. I'm with you. I want to help you. I'm working through this too in my life. I go to my brother Nate and say, Nate, I was going to get cookies too. Let's go to mom. Let's confess. We'll have a double punishment. How beautiful would that be? Let's drop the stones. Let's seek the Spirit. Let's take the tweezers. And here's the reality of life. Back in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus calls us salt and light. Do you know what salt does to a burn? It stings. To a wound, it stings. When truth comes, it hurts. We live in a world where we are offended easily. It's not just out there in the world. I think it's affecting us as well. When people say things, it hurts. And sometimes they do have the wrong motives. But the truth hurts. And so be careful. When we do hear something truthful, it might be for our good. Don't quickly pick up stones to pelt back at them. Receive it. We do well to consider the truth. Don't be easily offended. So this morning, that's where we're going to stop. And I hope we saw the consequences of judgment. And instead, let's choose care. Let's choose to drop the stones. Let's choose to seek the Spirit. Let's choose to take the tweezers. And let this in our tool bag. And if we're in that place, that's a beautiful picture of balancing truth and grace. And that's how we can let God use us in our brotherhood. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for pointing out our tendency, our human tendency, to quickly pick up stones. And I pray that we would choose to respond carefully when we see things around us. May we choose to come before your face and allow you to show us the things in our life. May we drop the stones. May we seek the Spirit. May we take the tweezers and move ahead with helping our brothers and sisters. I thank you for the brotherhood. And may we be men and women full of truth and grace, so your kingdom may abound and your church go forth. Help us to be a caring people. In Jesus' name, amen.